Okay, we continue in our discussion of Sefer Da'as Tefillah. Let's keep going. We are on his Hora'ah Revi'it, his fourth Hora'ah, and we'll try to discuss, we'll try to remind you what we're up to, and then delve into this a very interesting piece. So, Rav Rakovsky told us from the very beginning that a name of something, really says something about the essence of what it is. Hebrew is not like other languages. Hebrew has a deep meaning. In English, a name, a root, is something that's a little more random. In Hebrew, it speaks to the essence of what something is. And therefore, the root of the word tefillah, which is a little difficult to figure out what it is and how it functions. There doesn't seem to be a word in Hebrew that really means to pray, so to speak. We have this strange word tefillah and hitpalel. Palal means, if anything, judge. So we've tried to understand what this says about the experience of tefillah. So he brought three hora'ot so far. He said three things so far, all of which were around the root palal, to judge, about how we stand ourselves in judgment, how we correct ourselves, how we straighten ourselves out. That was the first part of this is all the introduction to the Sefer, and this is the he's done with that section, of looking at the root palal. Now he's going to move to another suggestion of what the root of tefillah is, and give us another idea. It's from the Siddur of the Baal HaKsav HaKabbalah. Who wrote the Ksav HaKabbalah? Anybody? Want to unmute yourselves and take a shot at that? Menachem Aaron, do you know? The Ksav HaKabbalah was written by Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg was a Rav in the early 1800s in Germany. And what's very interesting about him, amongst other things, is he was actually a balabas. He was in business until he was 46 years old, and then business seemed to go south, and then he became a shul rabbi. Turns out that it's better financially to be a shul rabbi than to be in business. Usually it's the other way around. But he was in business until he was 46, and then he became a shul rabbi until he passed away some 30 some odd years later. And as a German, of course, in the 1800s, he's very sensitive to issues of Hebrew and grammar and things of that nature. His Perush is usually called the Iyun Tfilah. You'll sometimes see in the bottom of a special siddur of sort, the Perush of the Iyun Tfilah, and that is Rav Mecklenburg. So he says as follows. He's going to talk to us about roots, and if he wasn't Rav Mecklenburg, I would say, I don't know, but he's Rav Mecklenburg, so he knows about roots. He knows these things. He says like this: Hashem tefillah nigzar mishem palal. So everyone seems to say that the start of this root is palal, lehit palel. You can't really get around that. Shorsho, but the shoresh, shtei osios pal. So what he seems to be saying is that when you have a Hebrew root with a double letter, then you can perhaps see this as a two-word root, or a root whose core is two. In other words, I would say Hebrew roots tend to be three letters. So palal, so I'm done. I got all three. But he says that once you have a lamed and a lamed, so we can assume perhaps that it's really pe lamed, asher b'tosefet hey. When you put on a hey, sometimes we have a two-letter root, and it has a hey at the end. So really, the word is pe lamed hey. Lehit palel, the root is pe lamed and a hey that drops off, and it gets a double lamed. Inyano, let's leave all that aside. I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form in Hebrew grammar. I did not do well in high school in Hebrew at all. So we're just going to take his word for it. But Inyano havdalah, to separate. Hafrasha, okay, to pull one thing apart, another, ubrera, to make something clear. Kamo v'hiflesi bayom hahu es eretz Goshen. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will separate, I will make different, I will bring out, make a different reality for Eretz Goshen from the Mitzrim. And that's this word, V'hiflesi bayom hahu es Eretz Goshen. What does this have to do with tefillah? Ha'amidah lifnei ha'melech doreshet hibadlut me'inyanei ha'olam hazeh. To stand before the king, to stand before the king of the universe, requires us to separate from this world. Bitul ritzonot haguf toldat hachomer. What does it mean to separate from this world? The reality is, what am I doing that's so worldly when I'm davening? If I'm eating a sandwich while I'm davening, well, that's very, very disrespectful. Most people are not doing that. Most people are not playing basketball at the same time that they're davening. So what does it mean that I separate from the world when I daven? I pull over to the side. I can't get out of my body. I can't do that. So what does it mean? So it means bitul ritzonot haguf. I have to try to push down my bodily desires, toldat hachomer, which is that which creates the material side of me. So I need to obviously stop doing whatever I'm doing. That's also true, by the way, during benching. Benching, sometimes we don't always stop everything as we're doing. Usually during Shmona Esrei, we're supposed to stop during benching. But during Shmona Esrei, we generally have stopped doing everything else. But this separating from the world is really an idea of stopping the ritzonot haguf. We have to stop thinking about our earthly desires, our earthly needs, or things like that. We have to separate ourselves. Kefi shemavar Rabbeinu Yonah. Kefi shemavar Rabbeinu Yonah, which Rabbeinu Yonah makes clear in his commentary on Brachos. At the back of the Gemara in Brachos, you have a little bit of a different set of characters than in the back of a typical Gemara. And you have Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says, he explains in the fifth parak of Brachos, as inyan ha-chasidim ha-rishonim. We know there were these chasidim ha-rishonim, nothing to do with today's chasidim. They're just very pious people. Shahayu shohin sha'a achas u'mispalalin. They would wait a full hour. They would sit in shul for an hour, and then they would daven. Kedei shi'achavnu es libam lamakom, so that they could have kavana in their hearts. So what did they do? What was the effort? What was it that they were doing during this whole time? Elavadai, these are the words now of Rabbeinu Yonah, kachu ha-perush. This is the perush. What does it mean, kedei shi'achavnu es libam? Were they working on their minds? Were they working on focus? Shiye libam shalem ba'avodat ha-makom. That they should be fully desirous of serving Hashem. It should all be about Hashem. V'yivatlu milibam ta'anugei ha'olam hazeh v'hana otehem. And they should not be thinking about lunch. They shouldn't be thinking about their material lives. That in order to be able to connect Hashem, we have to push, we have to subjugate, we have to push away that part of ourselves which is very attached to this world. Ki kishiyataharu liba mehevle olam hazeh, because when they're able to clear their heart of the nonsense of this world, v'yihyeh kavanosam b'romamus Hashem, and they think about the heavenly spheres, everything here suddenly doesn't make such a difference when you're thinking about the things in the heavens. Tihiyet filasam ritsuya umukubelas lafi hamakom. At that point, your tefillah will be desired and will be accepted by Hashem. The process of davening, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is to separate ourselves from this world in order that we should be able to connect to Hashem. What is that process and what is that about? So some of you have heard in the past the shiur that I've given about the nature of idol worship. Idol worship and the role that idol worship plays in understanding our connection to Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah is essentially saying that in order to connect with Hashem, we have to separate from this world. The concept of tefillah, the concept that an average, ordinary person can talk to God, has the following challenge. I am physical, very physical. I may have a neshama in me, but basically you look at me, you see flesh and blood. And I want to have a conversation with something that is totally spiritual, has no material aspect whatsoever. How can I do that? How can I actually engage in a conversation? Before I even engage in that conversation, I gotta be in the same room as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Here he's not talking about saying anything. This is the hour before I daven. Right? So the process before I daven is to get into the room with God. But how can I be in a room with God? I'm so much different than God. Yes, again, he put a little bit of himself in me. That's very helpful in every one of us. But at the end of the day, I am very physical, material. He is completely spiritual. How am I supposed to bridge that gap? Well, one answer, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is to try to take the physical out of me as much as possible. I can't actually leave my body. I can't actually leave my body, which is something interesting to think about in terms of sleep, in terms of the idea that the neshama connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea that perhaps after all of us pass away, we won't be connected to our body anymore. Will that give us the ability to have a different level of connection to Hashem because we won't be in our bodies anymore? But that's not practical three times a day. We can't three times a day, whenever we want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't necessarily leave our bodies. So what can we do? Make them as, try to push away the material as much as possible while staying in our bodies. And again, interestingly, he focuses here on the ta'anugei ha'olam, ha'olam hazeh. Okay? It's not always so easy. Eschata'ai animazkir hayom. It is not always so easy during Shachris not to think about breakfast, especially if it's a good breakfast that is awaiting us. But that's the last thing that we should be thinking about is breakfast. Because a being that's thinking about breakfast can't be having a conversation with an entirely spiritual being that runs the universe. That's what he's suggesting. So one thing I can do to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu very closely is if I'm physical and he's spiritual, I can try to make myself as spiritual as possible. One of the challenges with that is that, A, I don't like doing that. I don't like taking any of myself and pushing it away. I don't want anybody to tell me that I need to prepare myself. I need to change myself. And the second thing is that, as you see, it takes time. It takes an hour. It takes a long time to really get myself. We are very, very enmeshed and involved in the physical world. It's difficult for us to get there. So what did some people do? What did some people do to bridge the gap that didn't require themselves to become spiritual at all? So Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, what they did was they made God physical. How can you make God physical? That's Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah. A sophisticated view of Avodah Zarah. Not a view of Avodah Zarah that says that I actually think that this Pesel is Hashem. But that somehow, by being able to connect, by having a very close, intimate moment with this piece, with this statue, I'm able to make a connection to Hashem. And what's so nice is that if the statue is physical, then I could be as physical as I want. Reb Tzadok HaKohen makes the fascinating suggestion that Avodah Zarah and the most intense experience that we have with God, what's even more intense than tefillah, where we completely separate from our bodies in this world? Prophecy. When a person used to have prophecy, everyone except for Moshe Rabbeinu would basically have a seizure. A grand mal seizure. They'd be on the ground. They wouldn't be conscious. Why does a person need to become unconscious to have nevuah? Well, because how could you be standing talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're in your body? A person who had prophecy, and the Gemara tells us that it wasn't just 48 people who had prophecy. It was a million people. Many people did this just for the spiritual high of it all. people would spend weeks away from their family, away from the world, away from the pleasures of the world, just to take their body and make it as spiritual as possible. And at some point, you started to feel like you're actually really close to Hashem. So Tzadik HaKohen pointed out that this desire to have this close relationship with Hashem can be achieved either by making myself completely as spiritual as can be, and that's called prophecy, or by making God as material as can be, and that's called Avodah Zarah. And the proof that he brings is that both experiences died out at exactly the same time. At the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and the Gemara talks about some crazy story how it actually happened, but at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, two things disappear. Nevuah disappears, Malachi is the last of the prophets at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and we don't hear of Avodah Zarah during Bayis Sheni. What happened? Tzadik HaKohen says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the passion to be so, so close to him. That passion, when directed properly, should get me to sacrifice everything so I could be with him. It should get me to be willing to take off months of my life, years of my life, so that I could make myself spiritual enough. There was a desire to be with God. Take months off of my life, years off my life. You have in the Navi, the Bnei HaNaviim, all these people that are learning to become prophets. What does that mean? They wanted to have a spiritual high. And they were willing to train themselves and to make themselves spiritual for as long as it took to have that. God had put within us this desire to be so close to him. But for most people, they fulfilled that desire with junk food, with a pesel, with an idol. Why should I bother to spend weeks preparing myself and making myself more spiritual if I can just make God more material? Why do I need to bridge the gap by sacrificing myself? Why don't I just change the other? Of course, for those of you who are listening closely, there are many shades of relationships between people here also. Many shades of relationships. It's difficult to connect with anyone else. We're all different. Should I change myself, or should I try to change the other person? So that same idea is found with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's why at some point HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually the Gemara says that the people actually prayed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away this Yetzer altogether. The people just couldn't handle it. They couldn't put themselves through the sacrifice to fulfill this need to be close to Hashem. They couldn't, they just couldn't get themselves to sacrifice themselves. Instead, they kept putting God, they kept sacrificing God and bringing him close to them. So at the root of tefillah, which is a tiny bit of what used to exist, the desire to be with Hashem and to spend time alone with him was so much stronger than it is today. Today, it's a nothing. Once in a while when we're davening, we're like, oh, this is nice. It's nice to be away with God a little bit. But it's not like all day long I'm thinking, wow, I need to be alone with God. That's just not the way most of us function. But we have a tiny bit of that, at least so that sometimes we enjoy it a little bit. And again, in order to be able to create that connection with Hashem requires us to be as spiritual as possible for just a couple of minutes, to push everything away. Now, we're not going to have prophecy. Prophecy requires us to be right up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to go into a seizure. We're not going to go unconscious. We're not even going to go to sleep when we daven, because that level of closeness we're not going to get anyway. There's still going to be a distance. There's still going to be a couple of feet between us and Hashem, so to speak. But even to do that, even to get within a couple of feet, we're going to have to put certain things aside. We're going to have to leave some things behind if we want to take that journey to Hashem. Inyan zeh, we'll continue. Inyan zeh hu emtza'i v'tachlit. This idea of getting away, of separating from this world, and it's such a beautiful sentence, is an emtsa'i and a tachlit. It is a means, but it's also an end in and of itself. Emtsa'i, it's a means, ba'asher lo yitkayem ma'aseh ha'tfila bilto. Tefillah is not going to work if I'm so wrapped up in everything I'm doing during my day. If all I can think about is breakfast, I can't be with Hashem. Right? Ube'erech avodas hibadlozu, and to the extent that I'm able to get away, kach tiyah ma'alas ha'tfila. We all know that. Once in a while, when we have a good davening, it's because we actually pull away from everything else. We shut the world down for a minute. But v'gam tachlis, it's also an end in and of itself. Basher mimifalos hatfila hizu hahibadlut shel ha'adam. One of the purposes of davening is just to get away a couple of times a day. If we can't get away, we can't daven. But the fact that we have to get away in order to daven is a value in and of itself, even if we don't say a word. Just the experience of pulling away from the world a little bit. Kafisha Mavar HaRambam, famous Rambam at the end of the third book of